Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'll read the whole chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the moulded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the moulded images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Marcaiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the land of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stones and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to supervise. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord, given by Moses. Then Hilkiah said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "All that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen." And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, the keeper of Azra, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the effects it has on us. We thank you that it's alive, and it's going around the world, transforming men and women and boys and girls. And it's what you've revealed to us, all that is necessary for life and godliness. Thank you for West Park Church. Thank you for everybody who's here tonight. We pray that you will help us to be aware of your presence, and that you will open our eyes so that we can learn and we'll be doers of your word, not just hearers. We pray that your word will continue to transform us, deliver us, forgive us, cleanse us from our sins, and we'll walk lives that match the faith we profess, and give us praying hearts after we've done the study. So with all these thoughts in mind, we commit and commend this meeting into your hands, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, number 536. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Number 536. In the Bible, people weren't simply named because their parents liked the sound of the name. All names had a meaning. People didn't always live up to the meaning of their names. The man we're looking at today, his name means "May the Lord Yahweh give." In Hebrew, his name is Yossi Yahu. We know him as Josiah. If you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, you'll see his name there in verses 10 and 11. He was the 17th king of Judah of the Davidic line. The people of the land made him king when he's only 8 years old after his father Amon had been assassinated. He was to eventually reign for 31 years. But that's only part of the story. The name of his grandfather was Manasseh, who himself had been the 15th king of Judah. The name Manasseh means forgetful, or he who causes to forget. And in Genesis 41:51, Joseph, the son of Jacob, called his firstborn son Manasseh because he said, "For God hath caused me to forget all my toil and all my father's house." So this king Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, he caused God's covenant people to forget their relationship to him. He caused them to forget the law of the Lord, the Psalms of their father David, and the wisdom book that God had given them. The word of God in the days of Manasseh was out of sight, out of mind, forgotten. In fact, there's an apocryphal book called the Assumption of Isaiah, which says that the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two inside a hollow log. And when the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:37, "And they were sawn asunder," he's referring to what Manasseh did to Isaiah. Because in 2 Kings 21:16 we read, "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he filled Jerusalem from one end to another." Let's have a look at 2 Kings chapter 21 so that we can set the scene to see what things were like when Josiah came to the throne as an 8-year-old boy. It says, "Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem I will put my name.' And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practicing soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of the Lord, and of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, 'In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers.'" And so on. "He paid no attention," verse 9, "and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than all the nation, than the nations which whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel." So it got as pretty much as bad as it could get. Whatever the law of the Lord said, King Manasseh did the opposite. He desecrated the house of the Lord and he made them utterly pagan, just like the nations around Israel, whom Joshua and the army destroyed when they were possessing the promised land. But up to Josiah's time, for at least a few centuries beforehand, the dominant world power of that time was the Assyrians. And with this dominion came submission to the Assyrian gods. And Manasseh gladly, it's not like he was forced to serve the Assyrian gods and practice their religion and all that went with it. He did it gladly. And so did Josiah's father, Amon. But first point is that young Josiah was a miracle of grace. Sometimes in our society, we hear of children, the parents are both drug addicts, drink alcohol, they don't work, and they've got no morals. And you think to yourself, when they have children, the poor little children don't stand a chance. Well, from a purely worldly perspective, Josiah didn't stand a chance. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Well, that didn't happen to Josiah. Well, at least he had no kind of example from his father or his grandfather. But that doesn't stop God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 26, 19, 26. He said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And he said, "With God, all things are possible." And Josiah is a proof of that. It was a miracle of grace. Grace is undeserved favour. It's something that God gives us freely, totally unearned or unmerited. If God gave us what we deserved, none of us would receive any good from him. If God gave us what we deserve, we would all be condemned. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 from verse 9 to 12. It says, He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Look at verse 13 as well. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. So God doesn't treat us as we deserve, but he treats us with grace. And while we're thinking of grace, in Genesis 6 verse 8 it says, "And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." We see here in the life of Josiah that Josiah clearly found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's undeniable. That's the only way to explain Josiah in an age and a day like that. Josiah had a living relationship with God. God was addressing one of Josiah's sons, Jehoahaz, in Jeremiah 22. And he was speaking about Josiah. And God says of Josiah, he says, "He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was this not knowing me?" So Josiah, he didn't just know about God. He didn't just read about him, but he knew him in a personal way. And when it says he knew God, it doesn't mean that he just knew God's name or about God from the history of Israel. In Amos 3:2, God says of Israel, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." And in the New Testament, we're told that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, he said that his desire was that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, to have an intimate relationship with God, a living, thriving relationship with God. And that's what Josiah had. Although when he became king, he was only 8 years old, that was no matter to God. Grace opened Josiah's eyes, and even in his tender years, he could see the wrongs and the follies of his father and of his grandfather. And in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, in the reading we had, it said he began to seek the Lord and to purge the land of its idol. That's while he was still young. In verse 8, we read that it was 10 years later, in the 18th year of his reign, that work began in renovating and purging the temple, which had fallen into disrepair in the reigns of his father and grandfather. It's possible that it might have taken 10 years because there may have been some opposition to the idea in the land. Looking at the situation when Josiah came to the throne, many of the faithful might have been tempted to despair. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people, they perish." But God had a remnant. Even in that dark, gloomy period in their history, God had his people. As in the days of Elijah, when Elijah was despairing, and God says, "Why are you despairing?" God had to tell him that he kept 7,000 people who had not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed his image. God moved the people of the land to make Josiah the king. There's a saying that cometh the hour, cometh the man. Well, that's only part of the story, because people don't rise up from nowhere. It's God who is in control. And in the gospel, use this one on Sunday night, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Josiah was the man God used at this hour. And in the Reformation, in the days of the Reformation, Martin Luther, he says, with God, one is a majority. Today, many people might look at the state of the church in the land and despair. Look at the state of the churches in England. It's not good. But we have to take God's word seriously, that I will build my church. And if God raised up Josiah in a dark and gloomy period in the history of God's covenant people, he's more than capable of doing the same in our day and age and making good his promises. So Josiah was a miracle of grace, and Josiah was moved by the word of God. It was when the temple was being repaired, cleansed, and having the idols, the rubbish, thrown out, that the book of the law of the Lord was found by Hilkiah the priest. It was probably the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or at least a portion of it. Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, may have destroyed all the copies of the book of the law that were not hidden away. And at this time, God showed great mercy towards his people, because although the word of God seems to be absent in that society, it was not part of the national life of Judah, that God raised up in this period Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and possibly Habakkuk, who were prophesying at this time. So although the word of God, the written word of God, wasn't widespread, at least they had the spoken word of God at this time. It's the opposite for us today. We don't have prophets giving us new revelations from God, but we do have the written word of God, the 66 books, scripture from Genesis to Revelation to guide us through the world. Some people believe that Shaphan may have read from Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28. Let's just have a look at a few verses from Deuteronomy 28 to get a flavour of what Josiah might possibly have heard at this time. Deuteronomy 28, look at from verse 15. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if you do not observe the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come out, and cursed shall you be when you go in. And the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me." It says, verse 25, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemy. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and tumors, with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you." We don't have to read the whole chapter, but if you get the chance later, you can read Deuteronomy 28 or Leviticus 26, all the curses that the Lord pronounced against these people, that if they did not obey him and keep his commandments. So when Josiah heard the word of God read to him, he was staggered when he heard it. He knew that his people were in trouble. In the prophet Joel's days, there was a lot of religious play acting, which led the prophet to write in Joel 2:13, "Rend or tear your hearts, not your garments." And when Isaiah was prophesying, he said, "This people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's not that the people weren't serving the Lord, but they were serving the Lord and serving the gods of the Assyrians, Babylonians, and all the other nations at the same time. They were play acting. It was just a mere outward show of piety. But in 2 Chronicles 34, 27, we read, it said, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord." He humbled himself. God could see beneath the surface that Josiah's heart was right before him. I think it was Spurgeon who says that that thought is speech before God. So Josiah knew that he was an open book. God saw beneath the surface, and God was pleased with what he saw, because we know that because in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, we read, you don't need to look it up, I'll just read it to you. It says, For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the soul, the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, we read, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, my pages are a bit stuck together. It says, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." That was Josiah. Challenge you. Do you tremble at God's word? Are you humble? Does God think the same when he looks at your heart? That's between you and God to answer. And in Josiah's days, the Bible had been neglected, and the state of the nation showed it. In many homes today, there are dusty Bibles on the bookshelf, which are never opened and read on a regular basis. They say that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. And I remember a certain man called Marlin Summers used to have a Bible bookshop in Staveley Road, just on the other side of the park. He used to have a poster in the window, and it used to say, "This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." So without the word of God, without the scriptures in their lives, the covenant people had become idolaters and pretty much a pagan nation. And there's a saying that those who stand for nothing fall for anything. And up to the time of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church could only keep up the use of images, the veneration of Mary, calling on the saints and teaching about purgatory by forbidding ordinary people to read the Bible. When the Bible is unleashed, one verse at a time, people can see the forbidding of idolatry and the fact that there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The book of the law revealed to Josiah and to his people that they were in trouble. They were in deep, deep trouble with God. Even though Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, had a belated repentance near to the end of his life, the damage had been done, and Judah was beyond the point of no return. And although Josiah was later to be killed in battle by Pharaoh Necho, the verdict from Huldah, the prophetess, was that Josiah would die in peace. So although he was killed in battle, him dying in peace meant that he wouldn't live to see all the calamities, the impending judgment of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar and the Neo-Babylonian army. He also died in peace because he had a right relationship with God. There was peace between Josiah and the Lord his God. So when Josiah sent to inquire of the prophetess Huldah, it was to find out, what is it that God wants us to do? And in the New Testament, there's a couple of occasions when a similar question is asked. What is it that God wants us to do? In John 6, verse 28, some Jews said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verse 30, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And virtually the same answer is given to those questions. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your house." And Jesus replied to those who said, "What should we do that we might work the works of God?" He says, "Believe on him whom he has sent." It's not just head knowledge, but it's heart knowledge. It's heart trusting in him, hoping in him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And now we come to our third point. Josiah was a man who was a hearer and a doer of God's word. James 1:22 says, don't only be hearers, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So in response to Huldah's message, he may have also heeded the preaching of Jeremiah and Zephaniah, but we can't say that for sure. But he was acting in accordance with what the book of the law said. And in the book of the law, in the first book of the Bible, we read of Abraham. It says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. Josiah believed in the Lord, and it made a big difference in his life and in the life of his people. He didn't merely receive Huldah's message and sit there. He didn't only hear the word of God and think about it. In 2 Chronicles 34, 29 to 31, it says, we read that he gathered all the people as it had been read to him by Shaphan. And then Josiah read it to the people, and they renewed the covenant, which Manasseh, whose name means causing to forget, he caused the people to forget it. So he called the nation to repentance. That's not just in the head, but in their lives. And John the Baptist, he said, bear fruit worthy of repentance, as he preached the gospel, preparing for Christ. Josiah, he purged the land of idols. We read that in the corresponding passage in 2 Kings in 23. And in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 19, when the gospel came to the Ephesians, when they were converted, we read of them making a big, massive bonfire of all the books, of all the secret art which they had, which they practiced before they were Christians, to show that there was no turning back. Zacchaeus, in the New Testament, when he was converted, when he believed in Christ, he gave all back what he'd taken by deception. So he purged the land of idols. They weren't just saying, we're going to stop believing and serving these gods, but we're going to burn them. This is a symbol. That means we're no longer going to serve these gods. He destroyed the Sodomites in 2 Kings 23, verse 7, because he could see Leviticus 18, 22, and chapter 20, and verse 13. And in the church today, there's apparently those who see nothing wrong with acts such as these. They say it's no more wrong than eating pork or shrimps, ignoring the fact that it's also condemned in the New Testament, perhaps even stronger in Romans 1, 27, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. He purged astrology, star worship. The first commandment was that there was to be no other gods, no idols. But even today, I've got no idea if this is still the case, if there's a, what they call it, when they have them, the astrology, what they call horoscopes. Because years and years ago, in all the newspapers and magazines, there used to be horoscopes. I've got no idea if they still have them. But in recent years, they were there as a matter of course. But Josiah destroyed astrology. Even our word disaster means literally from the aster, from the stars. Josiah saw through it and he destroyed them. He knew that the stars, all they did was twinkle. They didn't control what happened on the earth, but the one who created the stars, he was the one who controlled everything. But the highlight of Josiah's reign was the observance of the Passover in the 18th year of his reign, when he was still but 26 years old. It was as the Lord commanded Moses, to remind them how God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt and how the first covenant was made with that nation. Josiah was obedient in virtually everything he read. There's a saying, however, that the best of men are at best men. Like all men before and since, Josiah wasn't perfect. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 31 and 36. 2 Kings 23, 31 and 36. It says, this is talking about a couple of his sons who reigned after him. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. Verse 36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. You say, well, so what? Well, two of his sons, they had different mothers. It could simply be that his first wife died and then he remarried. Or it could be that those lads were born before he found the book of the law, so he just didn't know. But he had more than one wife. And it's likely that, like most of the other kings of Judah, including David, who was the benchmark of all subsequent kings, that he had many wives. In the book of the law, which they read, in Deuteronomy 17:17, it says of the conduct of kings, it says, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Having said that, Josiah received this glowing commendation in 2 Kings 23:25. It says, 2 Kings 23 and verse 25, we read of Josiah. It says, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. So what a commendation from God. If you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But after Josiah was killed in battle, that was God's verdict on him. How about you? How about me? When God judges us, will you hear those words which we read in Matthew 25:21? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So how can I be like Josiah? Humble yourself like Josiah did. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Confess your sins like Josiah did. Remember, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be a man or woman or boy or girl of the word. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Josiah was a man of God's word. When he had God's word brought to him, what did he do? He didn't keep it to himself, but he brought it to his people, because he wanted the best for himself and for his people. There was no debate, no referendum, no consulting with the elders. It was, bring out the book. Bring out the book. Are you seeking to live like Josiah? His concern was his people. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our final hymn, number 574. Our firmer foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Number 574.